Line, Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, which today is Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight, puck drop late at 8:15. But joining us now is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, it's been quite the 24 hours here in Nashville. Kevin Byard traded away to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fifth and a sixth round pick and a player. What did you make of this move, and what do you think this says about the Titans and their intentions for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I was surprised by it, for sure. In fact, I saw him, and I was like, you know, you get those kind of parody accounts, you know, on social media. And I was like, hold up, let me make sure that I'm not getting duped here. I mean, that's honestly how I felt about it. In terms of what it means for the direction of this year and for the team in general, I feel like, and I think you asked me about it last week, in terms of, you know, when is it time, like prior to the trade deadline, where you maybe just make some decisions on the season. It certainly feels like it is definitely a move that is more about looking into the future than about being good right now. And so I think it, from that perspective, it's not good for the 2023 season for the Titans. And then I think just conversely, because I also think it's important for everything that Kevin Byard has probably meant to the Titans, I think he's going to be loved in Philadelphia. I think he finds himself in a really good situation on a very good team. And I think going there is going to probably raise his profile a little bit. And I think he's going to end up enjoying, you know, a lot of team success.
Yeah, Kevin Byard is such a good person. And so that's kind of the silver lining for me with this move, is this is his opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And I think that he deserves that. But as far as the Titans are concerned, do you think that this move is an indication of more to come, more trades to come for the Titans?
Yeah, I think possibly. It's unlikely that you – you know, you're trading your whole roster away or anything like that. But, yeah, I think that it's a move that, anybody that could potentially be out there. Somebody else has to want them too, right? Like, that's in want their contract and when their contract expires. And, you know, so there's got to be a need on a team, and the player's age, injury history, contract, all that has to fit. But, yeah, I don't think there's any question that it raises eyebrows and it makes you feel like there are, you know, it could happen to nearly anybody.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, yes, it can happen to anybody, especially when you have a team like the Titans where, you know, draft capital is low. The team doesn't have the roster's not loaded. They're still trying to build this roster back up. Can you see the next potential guy, and I think they would be doing him a favor, is D-Hop, you know, trying to get something for him, but also trying to help him as they did Kevin Byard?
Yeah, the question is, and this is where it goes back to, is like, all right, who needs him? Where's the fit? Mm-hmm. And what – would they want to do? You know, the interest for D-Hop seemed to be New England or Tennessee. And so as you look at New England, is that still a fit? It might be, but just doesn't feel like a very New England move, to, especially with where they are and how their season is going. So that's where it goes back to, like, somebody's got to want the player and everything else that comes along with it. Again, age, injury history, financial obligation, all of that. So, like, could somebody be interested in him? Sure. But at the same time, like, let's go back to when he just was completely available. What was the true interest?
Yeah, you're right. But now I'm looking at a team like Kansas City, who just lost, maybe losing Justin Ross. You know, he got arrested last night. And, you know, you never know what's going to come out of that in regards to suspension. So I was looking at a team that already had a little interest in D-Hop, and now that they don't have to pay the full salary, can you see a team like the Kansas City Chiefs inquiring really about D-Hop?
Yeah, well, like that's a good point on the, you know, the situation with Justin Ross. They weren't getting a ton out of him anyway. Justin Watson, who had, you know, kind of been coming on for them, he hurt his elbow. Kadarius Toney is at a really hard time staying healthy, which is honestly why they got back, you know, with Mecole Hardman. And so, yeah, like that, I'm sure it would be discussed by a team like Kansas City. Like, that would make more sense to me than New England, especially since, you know, part of what I think does happen as well is, look, just like the season hasn't gone exactly the way the Titans would have wanted it to go, look, I think you can say the same thing for other teams, New England being one of them, although they're coming off a big win. And so, you know, with that, like, part of what happens is, are you willing to make a move if your season's not going great? Whereas Kansas City makes a little bit more sense because, look, they still have everything in front of them in terms of what they're trying to achieve.
Now I'm going to venture off a little bit because I know Willie's going to jump back on in regards to Titans talk. But this weekend, I mean, we saw some egregious penalties. And whether it be in NFL or college football, I even said it goes down to high school. The officiating hasn't been as good. It's been glaring mistakes. And I look back to the Buffalo game or the Cleveland and Indy and Cleveland game. That was Tim. I mean, I know you're a quarterback and you're like, listen, no, it was a pass interference. But Tim, that wasn't a pass interference. I don't know what's a pass interference now and what's not in today's NFL.
Well, I mean, listen, so take that play for sure. And honestly, it happened. So, like, when it happened, I'm not sure that the quarterback, PJ Walker, like, I'm not sure that he wasn't already down. Like, if you look at the whole play, like, because he was under pressure early, and then just, like, go to the Sunday night game in, you know, Miami and Philadelphia, and there's a receiver trying to run a comeback or a back shoulder fade, and, you know, his face mask gets grabbed and pulled down when the ball is in the air traveling to him. So, yeah, like, I think, like, and I feel like we talk about this every year, and everyone wants to get the calls right. And I think some weeks, because of the games they happen in, feel like they are, you know, there are more missed calls or bigger missed calls than some other weeks. We're definitely coming off of a week where that definitely felt like it was the case.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, I can't imagine a week of the situation the Titans are in and the quarterback situation is not center stage. But that's really – and I do wonder their knowledge, their inner knowledge of how long Tannehill is from being 100% healthy factored into the decision – to start looking down the road of trading guys like Byard and maybe some others. But were you surprised? Mike Vrabel in the press conference said that if Tannehill cannot go, that both of the other quarterbacks will play. Did that surprise you? Or is that just maybe him being coy of not wanting to give away what he will try to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that. I actually got disconnected, so I missed some of that. But I think talk about the situation and being coy about it. Yeah, I think... Listen, some of it may not be, maybe you don't really know about, you know, the health and situation. Some of it might be, you know, everything about it. And, you know, you're trying to play close to the vest because it probably does matter in terms of, you know, like, is he playing and not going to be mobile? Is he not playing at all? Is he, you know, are we going to do something with the other two quarterbacks? And so, listen, while, you know, ultimately – the information probably comes out, I think as long as you can push that information in terms of revealing it out, I think it just makes it harder for people to actually practice and put a plan together to deal with what you think you're going to be facing.
The preparation to me is interesting. We've talked to you so many times about how you try to improve quarterbacks behind the scenes when they are not getting the main reps. They're basically running the scout team. They're in the meeting rooms, things like that. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to see it on display. So we'll just go off of what we've seen from Malik Willis. Knowing what you've seen from Willis and the unknown factor of Levis, how would you lean on how you would want to go about it here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, based on how things have gone, like in going back through the preseason and then also seeing the growth that we've talked about this, you know, Malik Willis's growth for sure has been significant. And so I think that, you know, what I would do is I would invest heavily in trying to do what I could to get him to continue to improve and play better. I mean, that is, you know, that is exactly what my plan would be and what I would do. Now, you know, at the same time, because of the nature of how he plays and all that stuff, like, look, you have to also be prepared. And so, look, I don't know how the reps exactly would go, but, listen, it's probably 80-20, you know, 70-30 at best in terms of, you know, percentages, you know, in terms of, you know, the two young quarterbacks. And then in terms of the plan, look, the plan might be a little bit different depending on, you know, who's going. But what I would do is I would cater it to the guy that I'm planning on playing. And so with that being the case, you know, maybe there's some more move the pocket stuff. There's more concepts that Willis is comfortable with. And, you know, I think that, you know, you basically pour everything you can into trying to get him to play well, which doesn't help the backup, but that's just kind of how it goes.
One of the things that I was picking up on during that press conference was the difficulty that a person in Mike Vrabel's position has in he's the coach, but he's also involved pretty heavily in the personnel decisions with mm-hmm. Rand Carthon. So he's got to look short term. He's in the trenches, but he's also looking at the big picture. That just seems to me that's why I think the traditional model evolved the way it did, right? Even though you mm-hmm. see it differently, but this is going to be very challenging, I would think, over the next 10 days as he's aware of maybe what the market is for some of his players, and he's also trying to sell his team. Don't give up on the season here. We're still trying to win.
Well, especially, you know, there are times when, you know, a move gets made where it feels like it's not a move that is helping you win that season. You know, as a coach, you can kind of come in and be like, hey, you know, us against them, right? Like, we're still all in yeah. here, you know, rowing the boat together. And, you know, when everybody knows that, you know, you, if not are part of those decisions, but are the ones making those decisions, you can kind of be like, hey, wait a minute here. Like, this doesn't feel like, you know, we're, you know, you can't be speaking out of both sides of your mouth. And look, and that's why I think the pressure is going to end up on him based on, you know, look, the move from John Robinson clearly put all the pressure on Mike Vrabel, and with that becomes some of the unique challenges that you have to deal with.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, we were talking about, you know, the effects in the locker room. And, look, D-Mace was talking about it. He's been there, and they've said, hey, we're pissed off, but we still have a job to do. That's something that Mike Vrabel said as well. We understand, I understand, and everyone in this locker room understands that we have a job to do. What kind of effect do you think it has in the locker room when you trade away a guy like Kevin Byard, who has been, who I like to call, you know, the Titans way personified?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think that it it always cuts both ways, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's there's disappointment, especially for somebody that's looked up to, somebody that is respected, somebody that was a leader, somebody that has given a lot and done it the right way. So when it happens, like, there's this disappointment for sure that it's like, man, like, how is that happening? And then at the same time, you know, there's also this, like, hey, it puts you on alert. Like, hey, if it can happen to him, you know, it can happen to anybody. And so then there's this attention-grabbing, you know, aspect of it that can help or hurt you. And then there's just, like, the personal side of it, right, that, you know, I think we oftentimes just ignore because guys get cut all the time. Guys get traded. You know, there's free agency. There's so much movement that, you know, all that's true. But then there's this, like, personal side of it that I know with, especially if you spent a long time somewhere, which Kevin certainly had, there are deep relationships between players and coaches. And guys have been through a lot, both personally and professionally. And so when those things happen, like, it hurts. And there's, you know, there's an emotion to that that you kind of end up having to work through. And I think that's the most difficult part of it.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. So, I mean, and with this locker room and, you know, them moving forward, you know, we had a discussion whether this team is better off. How are they now that Kevin Byard's not there? You know, my thing was this team was a middle-of-the-road team with Kevin Byard. I think they are, you know, a middle-of-the-road team without him. You know, I can't see them, you know, going from where they are to the Chicago Bears. That's just me. And the Chicago Bears, to me, even though they got a win this weekend, they are the bottom of the barrel when you're talking about teams in the NFL this season.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing. I think they did not improve as a team for this season. You know, people can say what they want about Kevin's age and, you know, is the player that he once was. I mean, he played nearly every special team, you know, last year. He, you know, what he's lost in speed, he certainly makes up for in leadership and knowledge and all of that stuff. And so I think that they did not get better for this season. They were already kind of trending towards being a bottom half team. And I think the move on this, you know, I think will start to create a buzz of being in, you know, for a team that's drafted a quarterback relatively high the past two seasons because of the volume of really talented quarterbacks that'll be coming out in next year's draft, like, it puts them squarely in that conversation. And so I think that in terms of how this year goes, you know, there's going to have to be, you know, people that kind of are able to block out the noise and, you know, play in a way that and lead in a way that, you know, maybe they haven't done throughout their career because, you know, if we get to the halfway point and the record is not great and it looks like things are going a certain way, there's going to be talk about, are you even trying to win football games? I mean, that's just that is the track that it feels like the team is on right now.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Tim, because just to get a sense of the vibe of the fan base right now, we've already had Caleb Williams discussions. So my question for you, is Caleb Williams the kind of franchise-altering quarterback that we saw Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow be with the first overall pick?
Yeah, I don't know if he is. I'll tell you this, and I'm on record as saying this, is I think Drake May is the best quarterback that's going to be coming out in this year's draft. And it's funny saying it, coming off a really bad, you know, loss for North Carolina last week against Virginia, but I think he's nearly a perfect prospect at quarterback. I think he's, like, people, the way people talked about Andrew Luck, I think people will talk about Drake May that way. I think Drake May is, he's going to be a better pro than he's a college player. And so whether it's May or whether it's Williams or whether it's Bo Nix or Quinn Ewers, or there's going to be a lot of really talented players that are in the draft. I think May is the first guy, but because I think that happens, you know, the list of other guys that will go in the first round I think will be significant this season. And teams like the Titans, maybe the New England Patriots, others that maybe at the beginning of the year you didn't think they would be drafting the quarterback in the first round that are, I think, may end up surprising us come April.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you as always. Thanks for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
Great. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. All right, we will react to what Tim had to say there, plus back into Kevin Byard talk, because Mike Vrabel touched on what may have motivated this move. And I don't know if I totally 100% believe Mike Vrabel with what he said. So we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.